Welcome to the Becoming You Show with me, your host, Leah Rowling. Do you believe you are capable of choosing your future? Sometimes it takes just one person to believe in you, for you to believe in yourself. If you find yourself continuing to say, someday I will take better care of myself, only to continue living the same day over and over and over again, then you, my friend, are in the right place. I am your biggest cheerleader, inspiring you to become you on purpose and with intention. Are you ready to create a life you love? I'm excited to share with you some big ideas that you can use today to inspire, impact, and influence your life and everyone in it. The Becoming You Show starts now. Happy Friday, friends. We made it. How was your week? Did you start the week prepared and ready to go? Priorities planned, routines in place, excited and motivated about your mission and your impact? If not, I want to remind you that there is still time to finish this week strong and celebrate the progress, because it's all progress. There is time to set up next week. There is time to figure out what it is that you are working towards. Maybe this will be the weekend that you will journal what it is that you want for yourself. Last week, we talked about JOMO, the joy of missing out. This idea of a decluttered sense of self. What would that look like? Who would you be? Would you be someone that was committed to a JOMO lifestyle, missing out on the cookies and chips and candies, missing out on the pop and the wine and the Tito's to help support your health and your inflammation and your weight loss goals, missing out on hitting that snooze button to get up and get to the gym, missing out on that next episode of that next season in the next Netflix frenzy to get to bed earlier, missing out on an hour plus distractions on social media to write a letter, read a book, call a friend, connect with a loved one. This JOMO lifestyle creates an uncluttered sense of self. And the only thing required is intentionality. If we were to be really honest with ourselves about what it is that is really missing from our lives, I'm guessing it isn't chips or cookies or new seasons of your favorite Netflix show. But maybe I'm wrong. Sometimes it seems so though, right? I'm guessing if you took the time and asked what it was that was really missing from your life, you would realize that it would not be more social media or Starbucks. It would be something more. This something more is what I want to talk to you about today. The void. I believe the void is what stands in our way from truly living this JOMO lifestyle. I believe we all have this void that exists within us. Have you noticed it? Have you noticed it feels like there's something not quite right? It feels like there's something missing, that something seems off, something's gone wrong. It shows up in our comparisons as your brain tries to look for evidence that you're just not quite as good as other people. Maybe not as smart, strong, pretty, or nice, that you don't measure up in some way. Other times it shows up in this idea that something in our life has gone wrong, terribly wrong, that our life was supposed to be different somehow. This looks like unhappiness, restlessness, resentment. It looks like frustration, overwhelm, guilt, and shame. It's all of the negative emotion that sometimes we seek a reason for, and sometimes we just give credit to the things going on around us or people that we surround ourselves with. We want to say that it is because other people are better than us. We want to say that we are better than them. We want to say that our house should be bigger, that we should make more money, have more friends, have a different job, a different marriage, more kids, less kids. We want to say that if we lived someplace different, like in the mountains or a place by the ocean, then this void might not be here. We like to blame the world for this void. And when we do, we have no solace. Because if the world is our problem, we have bigger problems. The void, this feeling of not enough, this feeling of something has gone wrong, is created by us. It is created by our thinking. And sometimes there is an obvious situation that we give meaning to. And other times, we have no idea what caused it. Other than we have sweaty palms and a racing heart and worry, a tight chest and an unsettled stomach and a lack of focus. It's anxiety, it's discomfort, it's jealousy, it's resentment. And we're not even sure why. It's sadness and depression, and nothing has really gone wrong. It's just, I don't know what's wrong. I just feel unhappy, unsatisfied, not content, not fulfilled, not as excited as I thought I would feel at this point in my life, and I'm not sure why. If you can relate to this, I think this episode might help offer a few ideas to reconcile and move out of the void, out of the fear, and into your most fantastic future. My 11-year-old feels conflicted a lot, I can tell. And he's wrestling already with figuring out who he is and where he fits in this family, and wanting to be independent and unique on one hand, and yet wanting to be included and attached and close on the other hand. It's like he's not even sure what's going on. He's not even sure why he's unhappy and uncomfortable from one moment to the next. But he is at times. And at other times, most times, he is very, very happy. So we see at this super young age, and then as we grow older, this void starts manifesting in different ways in terms of our behavior, in terms of the way we show up and the way that we think and the way that we feel. But the void still drives, I think, our discontent. So the way my 11-year-old behaves and the way my teenage behaves and I behave is going to look different on the outside, but similar happenings on the inside. Notice that even we as adults have these toddler-like reactions happening internally, these internal tantrums. I call them sippy cup tantrums, feelings of it's not fair, pay attention to me, or you would rather do whatever, fill in the blank, than hang out with me. And not wanting to miss out or feel deprived or less than the people around us, insecurity, fear, and at the same time, a desire to be independent and unique. There is this void in all of us that we think can be filled by something outside of us. Our kids have this void and they think we can fill it. And we want to fill it for them. I mean, we don't want them to be unhappy, but when this doesn't work, we are left frustrated, wondering what has gone wrong. As I find myself parenting three preteen, teen boys, 11, 14, 15, to be exact, I find that it's them being mad at me. It's them saying things that I want to interpret as hurtful. It's them not speaking to me for a while because they're upset about something. It's them pulling away, or at least perceived as much. It's them being a little more vocal about the things that I do that they find to be embarrassing. Things I used to do, things we used to do that are no longer cool and fun. So I try to remind myself, this is just the void. They are just trying to look for ways to fill that void. I'm looking for ways to fill that void. Sometimes you look for me to fill it, right? They do. And sometimes I look to them to fill it. And as children, it's and natural and normal to expect that our parents will fill this void for us. But we can't. Even the best parents, even the kindest, most patient, most loving parents will never be able to fill the void because the void is supposed to be there. This void serves a purpose. As a parent, I know that I can keep changing situations. I can contort and pretend and people please until I'm exhausted, and I will never be able to fill that void for them. Not because I don't want to, but because it's impossible. And the same is true for us. Our kids can't fill our void. And when we rely on them for our emotional well-being, we suffer, and they suffer needlessly as well. They are working through their own emotions. They don't need ours to juggle as well. Our emotions are our job to navigate. And if you need help with this, that's the work that we do in Becoming. It's my online coaching group. I'd love to have you in there if you're not. So many times we look for this void to be filled with our expectations. If only they were more like this, then I would be happy. If only they loved me more, hung out with me more, talked to me more. If only they did what I asked and they weren't such slobs or got better grades or were more social or were less mean or more happy, then I would be happy. Our expectations create tremendous pain for the expector. I don't even sure that's a word, but I don't know what else we would call it. It's a nice way to say controlling and manipulative. And I know that seems really mean when I say it, maybe a little even bit tough love-ish, but we have to know the impact these expectations have on our kids, in our relationships, and in our life. We look to these people to show up in a certain way to try to fill this void within us. And even though it happens on occasion, we notice it's still not quite right. There's something missing. Did you ever think that there would be that one day that you would find that boyfriend or that girlfriend who you thought were going to be the ones to fill the void and complete this romanticized love story, that they would complete you and that void would be filled? And sometimes you may feel complete and the smittenness of it all. But ultimately, at some point in time, you realize that they can't fill the void. Either, and then you are back to thinking, what's wrong with me? What's wrong with them? What's wrong with my life? We think this way when we get that dream job, that would fill the void. Maybe if I was doing something that I loved, if I was doing something I was more passionate about, if I were more successful, if my boss appreciated me more, if I got paid more, then that would fill the void. All just seemingly is until it isn't. Sometimes, many times, we feel this way about our parents. We love them, but something's not right. It's off, and we think that something's wrong, that they are doing it wrong, that we are doing it wrong, that there's still this emptiness that I can't fill. Do you know this void? Hopefully something I have said resonates with you on this. Now, here's the thing that happens. It's pretty awesome. If you pay attention, if you're looking for it, if you're open to it, then you can have many, many moments of void acceptance instead of denial. When we deny this void, we run from our life. When we deny this void, we try to pretend that we're something that we're not. Denial has us reading every single self-help book there is under the guise of growth and development, only to confirm the truth that the void reveals. Instead of running and buffering and denying this feeling, what if we could just quiet it? We don't have to get rid of it altogether. I do think that this void is supposed to be there. I think it's a human thing, not a defect thing. We are not a design flaw. And when we know this void is not only tolerable, it is natural, it doesn't seem so scary. It doesn't seem so painful. It doesn't seem like anything that our brains have to solve. Nothing that we have to hide from. Nothing that we have to run from. Nothing that we have to shame ourselves with. So know that it's supposed to be there for you and for me, and it's supposed to be there for your children and your spouse and your friends and the world. And our job isn't to solve for the void or get rid of it, but to just manage it for ourselves and know that everybody else is wrestling with it as well. Yes, everyone. And when we know this, we can rid ourselves of 99% of our problems. I'm going to go out on a limb with this one, but I would say that most of our problems that we create for ourselves stem from this void and these two problems. Ready? One, I'm not enough. Two, they are not enough. Now, as you know, what I teach is that every problem is a thought problem, a belief problem. The belief that I am not enough is shame. The belief that other people aren't enough, that's blame. The shame and blame problem is a human game that we play. Brené Brown, teaches that every single human being has this shame problem. So nothing has gone wrong with us that we have this. Actually, all healthy humans sometimes wonder if we're good enough. Those of you that think that you can't go over to your in-law's house because it's just too hard to be there, or that you hate being around them, fits nicely into this human game that we play. What you hate is being with yourself when you're there. You hate being there in your own head with the thoughts that you have and the emotions that you create and the experience that you create for yourself when you are at your in-law's house because of what you're believing. You don't like how you are being when you are there. Shame. And then you blame them on why you can't go over there. But they're not the reasons that you can't go over there. You're the reasons that you can't go over there. And it's because of your thinking. They don't make you feel bad. You make you feel bad with your story, right? And isn't that great news? Because we don't have to change your in-laws. P.S. In case you haven't noticed, they're very hard to change. And you don't have to go to their house if you don't want to. Okay? I just want you to know the truth of the situation. And I want you to get happy in your head before you decide what you're going to do or what you're going to say or who you're going to be. I want you to create some peace and space for this void tolerance and some compassion, as this always feels better. Many of us have heard about shame, right? And have studied a lot of Brené Brown's work on this shame and guilt. But yet some of us still don't realize that shame and blame and how we show up feeling it has an impact, a tremendous impact on our action line, how we show up. Okay. So if you're not really sure how it's showing up, I'm going to break a couple of different concepts down for you. Okay. Shame fuels the following. It shames comparison and despair. We compare and then we feel bad. And it confirms our not enough story. And I mentioned this earlier. We look to somebody else and we think, if only I was as smart as them, or as successful, or pretty, or smart. We compare and then we shame ourselves for not being enough. And did you know that we could compare impossibility? This is my favorite way to compare, meaning, wow, look at this amazing human being doing amazing things. And I'm a human and they are a human. Could I be capable of doing amazing things? Possibly. Perfectionism. This is how shame shows up in perfectionism. Let's just try to do it perfectly so that we can prove to ourselves that we're enough and everyone else can think that we're enough. Perfectionism is also interesting because sometimes it shows up where the house is super nice and tidy and neat, and other times it shows up where it's not tidy at all, because if we can't do it perfectly, we won't do it at all. If I can't make perfectly round cookies, then I won't make any at all, right? I can't do it sloppy. I can't not do it well. And I can't do it because then people might come along and judge us. So what I find so often is that we don't do anything at all. And then we forget the root term of the word perfectionism, which is to perfect, right? And so I just want us to be on to ourselves that in order to perfect anything at all, we have to begin by not being good at it at all. The other way that shame shows up is in our people-pleasing tendencies, right? Why don't we just get everybody to feel good? Because if I can get everyone else to feel good, then maybe I can feel good. And then I'll like me. Then I can finally believe that I'm enough. The other ways that it shows up is with social anxiety. Social anxiety only comes up with the belief that we're not enough. Because whether or not we are or not, we're going to think that other people are judging us. And then we're going to get nervous and feel bad. And so let's just not hang out with other people. That would be better for us, right? And if I have to participate, then shame, not enough, is going to show up. It's going to have me being scared and not engaging and avoiding conversations, assuming that we're being left out, looking for proof that we will no doubt find. Our eyes look for what our brain tells it to. We will tell ourselves that other people have more in common. Other people are just more engaging or funny or smart. It also has us showing up hiding and playing small. Shame hides in hiding. Shame grows in hiding. It shows up and it looks like you not being who you want to be in your life. It's being who everybody else wants you to be. It's diminishing yourself and neglecting yourself. It's being Leah Light. Why am I taming myself down? Okay, that's just a few of the ways that shame shows up. And then what I find is when shame feels intolerable, we go quickly to blame. They're not enough. And that leaves you in victimhood status. When you feel that everyone is out to get you, that the world is not treating you the way that it should, and that something has gone wrong, and you're miserable because they're not doing it right. And it's not fun to be us when we're operating from this victim mentality. And ironically, it's not fun for others when we're in this mentality. But we're not going to be worried about them and how they might be feel. We're going to be worried about us and how we feel. If we think everyone is creating your pain, you're in victim mentality. And when we are, we become disempowered. Blame also shows up, and it's the obvious one, is in our judgment for others, that they're just not doing it right, that we're just a little bit better than everyone else. And why don't they just do it my way? Why don't they just see it the way I see it? And we offer up to our head, if I could just get 5 minutes with these people, I'm sure I could get them to understand my point of view. And friends, everyone wants this. Everyone wants to justify their rightness. And at the end of the day, everyone is right. It also has a showing up defensive, defending our own rightness. Our people pleasing that shame created for us allows us on the other end of it to be resentful, right? Because we say something that we really don't want to do, and then we do it, and then we become resentful for them asking us to do the very thing that we said that we were going to do in the first place. It creates a bunch of self-pity and indulgent emotions. And I want better for you. I want you to live the very biggest version of you and the truth of who it is that you are. And it's not operating from the void. It's not solving for the void. It's just quieting it enough to realize that it's supposed to be there and that we can move out of it anytime we want by conscious thought. Okay? We get to choose our brain. And I know this seems very super disappointing. I know that we were hoping that it was more mathematical or something rooted in a complicated science. It's not. It's just thinking about what it is that we're thinking about and identifying what is true and what is not true. Okay? And that's it. I want to let you guys know that believing in who it is that you are and understanding that this brain that we operate from is a muscle that we have to work and practice on the daily. Not just every once in a while, not just when we get that really great book recommendation or we take that course. It's a daily practice. And if you're not doing something for your brain on the daily, I want to invite you to our Becoming membership. You can check us out at www.leahrowling.com/becoming and try out a community that is going to support you in getting your brain thinking about possibility instead of being stuck in the void that we find ourselves in sometime. Alrighty, my friends, if you like this episode, will you do me a favor? Would you share it with a few people and then ask them to do the same? I say this every time, but this movement requires our movement. This movement to become more by being more. I truly believe that together, you and me, we can inspire others to do the same. I want to offer you an amazing rest of your week and an amazing weekend. And I will see you here next Friday, same time. See you soon.
You have been listening to the Becoming You Show with me, your host, Leah Rowling, where I share big ideas to inspire, impact, and influence your life. Tune in every Friday at 11 Central on TransformationTalkRadio.com for your morning cup of coffee, the hug you never want to end, and that inspirational message that you felt was written just for you. Each show is inspiring you to become you with purpose and intention. For more information or to connect with me, visit www.leahrowling.com.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.